Jazz, a podcast. If you're listening to this on a pod, it's a pod podcast. It's a conception. I am joined, as always, by West Virginia coal miner Allison and West Virginia coal miner Chris. Both available on the internet. If you'd like to find them, head over to binaryjazz.us. Find information about all of us. I'm Gary, and we've got an exciting topic coming up. Can't wait to find out what it is.
Me too. No, I'm just kidding. I actually have a topic.
Okay. Yeah.
Was this the point where I bring it up already? Wow, okay.
Apparently, I don't know. I'm just letting Gary roll with his role.
You know, usually we do like this long intro, like if you're new to the show. I don't want to risk it this time. Let's just go.
We don't care if you're new to the show.
If you're new to the show, listen to another episode and figure out how it works.
Sit down, figure out how it works. Join us, won't you?
Yeah, we'd love to have you on Slack or Twitter or our website. Or
my introduction also would basically be like, oh, why, hello there. I didn't see you come in.
And also donate and help us pay for transcriptions.
Oh, yeah.
On the website, I'm sure there's a donate link. Yeah. But we're really bad at advertising. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, you know, we're just really bad at this.
I just don't know if we're the self-promotion type of people.
Yeah.
Because even when we do things that sharing makes total sense, we're very quiet about it.
We aren't self-promoters. If you like the show and like to promote us, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Promote us on our behalf.
However, we're curious as to how you got here since we're not self-promoters. Glad to have you.
Okay, the topic this week, which I like because, I don't know, well, you'll see. is the Ben Franklin effect. Ben Franklin.
Huh. I don't feel like I'm a Ben Franklin expert.
Name in a familiar way, but Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, God, I thought you meant someone else entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm familiar with Benjamin Franklin.
But how familiar are you? Because the Benjamin Franklin effect could be so many things.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
What's Benjamin Franklin known for?
He was pretty eccentric. You know, the key and the kite thing, probably. What he's best known for, right?
He's best known for being buds with the founding fathers and not actually being a politician himself and doing lots of crazy experimentation, as noted by the key on the kite thing.
Can we dive more into this key and kite thing? Because I feel like that's worth a description. Because I think we all have a vague idea of what we're trying to describe.
You fly a kite in a lightning storm to test that electricity, the lightning, will hit the highest metal point.
He also has the quote, I believe it's Ben Franklin. If it's not Ben Franklin, someone else said it, and it's ascribed to Ben Franklin. Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
He's also the only person who wasn't a president that is on American currency.
Hmm. He wrote an
Except
awful lot.
Except for Susan B. Anthony. On the paper currency. Paper money.
I feel like nobody takes this today, huh? The Susan B. Anthony thing seriously. Sadly. Well,
yeah.
Who's on the $2 bill?
Kanye West.
That's a good...
Is that right? I think that's right. I don't think that doesn't seem right to me.
It feels chronologically odd, but I can go with it.
Maybe. I feel like I had $2 bills when I was younger, though. before Kanye was a thing.
Well, Kanye is a recent addition.
Who was on it before Kanye?
Some dude.
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Sorry, yeah, boy, not some dude.
Some dude.
Boy, Martha Stewart. Whatever happened to her? She's still doing stuff?
She's out of prison now. She's doing stuff. She's on talk shows and writes books and does the Martha Stewart thing, except without a television show.
She's good friends with Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion.
Perhaps the best business collaboration known to the world in the past years.
I like to think it's more than business. He's I like to think that they're just pals.
He's legitimately Snoop Dogg. He's not Snoop Lion. He has said that Snoop Lion was I don't know how he put it exactly. It wasn't a phase, but it was like a role he was putting on, and then he took it off. Because he's on other things. He's got a game show I found randomly on, I don't remember what channel, maybe Viceland, I don't know, but he's got some game show, which is we watched and is dumb. And he's got a whole thing.
He's a guest on some kids show that my kids were watching the other day on Netflix. Netflix original. Ask the something bots.
I mean, my favorite thing about Snoop Dogg is when he does the nature show stuff. Have you guys seen?
I think I missed that.
Oh
no,
it's worth a watch.
Yeah, find it on YouTube because I don't know if it's ever been on an actual. I don't know if it's just a YouTube thing. I don't know if like he's partnering with something on YouTube specifically. I think it started off as a bit on like. Some late night show, but like they'll you know how they do the nature shows and it has like David Attenborough and he's like describing what's happening in the scene and whatever. Well, they mute the sound or they remove the overdubbing of the, you know, British narrator and they put Snoop Dogg on instead. And Snoop Dogg has never seen this stuff before, or maybe he has, who knows what Snoop Dogg does. But he'll do the narration, but it'll be like, oh, what's he doing now? Oh, look at that snake. Oh, that snake's gonna get that rat. Oh, get him. Get him. Get that rat. Yeah. You don't mess with that snake, rat. Oh, you're gonna get away. Oh, you're gonna get out of his mouth. Oh, look at that rat. He's coming out of the snake's mouth. The snake doesn't even know what hit him.
I think I'm ready for intros now. Can I redo them?
Professional Snoop Dogg impersonator.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, you should really watch the Snoop Dogg version because it's much better than what I did.
I'm gonna have to.
It ramps up the narrative of a nature documentary quite a bit, though. The adrenaline it gets it pumping a lot more. There's a lot more excitement than like the dry monotone of watching an animal in its native habitat.
There's one where there's like a. I don't know if it's like an emu or something, but it's like an emu versus being attacked by a crocodile.
Emu.
There's an emu being attacked by a crocodile, and like the emu like kicks the crocodile in the face and tries like it just. There's a whole thing, and the funny thing is like he'll be on the side of like the predator, but then like when the prey animal starts fighting back, then he'll immediately switch sides and be like, "Yeah, you don't mess with him."
Choose a lot.
Were you all big Crocodile Hunter fans back in the day?
Oh, Crocodile Hunter.
Did you watch Crocodile Hunter?
No, I did not watch Crocodile Hunter.
I think it was my sophomore year in college. Mm. Maybe. Yeah, sophomore year in college. My roommate and I made it was like every rerun, every new episode, we would get pizza and beer, watch Crocodile Hunter.
Wow.
And not like ironically, like we were just highly entertained. Love that.
Yeah. I'm glad that you pointed out that there was nothing ironic about it. It's just full serious. This show's like that. I mean,
the other show that was popular on my campus was SpongeBob at the time. And yeah. And that was like, people were watching that because it was stupid.
Yeah, no, Iron Chef was the equivalent for me.
Ooh, did a bunch of Iron Chef too.
Yeah. Iron Chef marathons.
Is that still on?
TV used to be really good.
There was an American version for a while. I don't think that that one exists anymore. I don't think Iron Chef is still on.
The reruns, though. I mean, you could watch them forever.
Yeah.
Evergreen. Evergreen material.
I mean, because I feel like 3 minutes in, you're like, I don't know if I've seen this episode or not. I'm not sure what that ingredient is.
Yeah, well, I mean, the best part is...
Oh my gosh, that's our podcast. We're the Iron Chef of podcasts. We don't know what the ingredient is until the show starts.
We are the Iron Chef of podcasts. Yeah, then the best part has always been the host person, Master whatever his name is, taking a big bite of bell pepper in the intro.
Yes. Master Wu, yeah.
Master Wu.
That's a crossover I want to see.
Ninjago and Iron Chef. I can see that happening.
Can you talk to your children about a stop motion version of that for me, please?
Oh yeah.
That'd be great. We would get them a dozen views.
It would be like sausage is the or bread would be the secret ingredient. You know, like one of the pre-made Lego food like of which there
a
are
a plastic five. Turkey leg. Yeah.
Yes.
Coffee cup.
Tyler got a set a while back that had all sorts of like fun little stuff like that. I'm trying to remember what other foods there were besides carrots. Carrots is one.
Carrots. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that little sausage. He probably has four of those. The Lego sausage and the bun that it goes in. He made a Lego hot dog food truck as a result of that. I was pretty excited about it.
Business savvy. You're like, I've got four of these hot dogs. They've got to go.
I only need one. I'm going to sell the other three, but I need somewhere to sell them out of. Legos, it's just so much fun to watch him using.
I love Legos. So good.
Yeah.
If I had more space, that would probably be something I would invest
in. Ben Franklin, famously, inventor of Legos.
Benjamin Lego Franklin.
Yeah.
But how does that tie into the Ben Franklin effect? Is it the making of the Legos that is the Ben Franklin effect, or is it the inventing of stuff that is the Ben Franklin
effect? I like to think the Ben Franklin effect is he didn't bathe frequently, so he would walk into a room and people were like, do you smell that? That's the Ben Franklin effect.
And everybody leaves, that's the effect.
Yeah. For some reason, I think that he was like, he had something to do with education. He was either for or against it.
Those are the two options.
I mean, maybe he was both. They just get all the bases covered.
Well, he wasn't much of a politician, so he couldn't have been both.
Maybe he was a politician, and that's why he chose to be both. Or chose not to be both. Or chose not to be a politician. What? I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, bifocals. He's the inventor of bifocals, right?
And this is significant because
people can see near and far with one pair of glasses.
The Ben Franklin effect.
Look at you sitting here with your perfect vision. How dare you? Do you wear contacts?
No.
Okay.
No, I have keratoconus though, which is when your eyeball is shaped like a cone.
Carrot. Oh.
We went over this. It's a Harry Potter spell.
Yeah, Harry. Keratoconus.
That's right.
My eyeballs go. Bzzzt.
Chris was hexed at a very early age,
yes.
Unfortunately.
But not so, like strongly hexed, just like mildly hexed.
Yeah.
So thinking about like glasses, right? And just poor vision in general, we would be terrible hunters.
Oh, I wouldn't
thank
survive.
Good, well, right. Thank goodness we were born in the time we were born in, you know? I would be run over by a herd of horses or something.
Even then, even now, without hunting, it can be rough if it's raining.
That's true.
Or nighttime.
That's when I bust out the contacts.
Hey, I was thinking about
the Ben Franklin effect.
I've not thought about that very often in my life. once, as a matter of fact, today. I went to an art museum on Saturday, and there was like this kids section, and they had this drinking vessel, and it was a bowl. And I was thinking, like, did the guy that first, I'm assuming it was a guy, because it was history, right? Women didn't exist until
Because history is written by men.
Well, yeah, I mean, women didn't exist until like 50 years ago.
Until 1972.
Yeah. 72, was it? Maybe.
Yes, when the first woman got a job.
It's so fascinating. I don't know how we as a species survived without women until then. But the individual that was like, hey, how about a drinking glass or like a cup instead of a bowl? Like, it will have a lower propensity to spill because the center of gravity is more contained. Where people, like, look at that moron drinking out of that tall, skinny thing instead of a bowl. And he spilled less beverage, right? I mean, I don't know. I feel like that was, like, a really risky move. But now glasses are the norm, and we rarely drink out of bowls. How often you drink out of a bowl, you know?
Well, look, those gigantic cappuccinos.
That's true. Bowl of cheese.
I mean, that's probably it, yeah. I can't think of any other examples. Maybe when I finish my cereal in the morning, I'll chug the milk. You know, I don't know. I mean, the drinking out of a bowl thing really dead.
I do like your angle on it, though. Like, look at that jerk over there. That's, like, what is he doing? Also, that the explanation is, like, very scientific. Like, that was the reasoning, not just like, hey, I made the sides taller and, like, look at this weird shape. But you were like, no, the center of gravity is different. Like, it was like a whole plan.
Well, but
his sales pitch to the other people were was much different.
So it had to, I mean, so it had to have happened like post Isaac Newton when we understood gravity. Because you would not have a center of it until, yeah. Well, there would be no center of gravity until we understood gravity was a thing, right? So everyone drank out of bowls until after Isaac Newton. History, according to Gary. And that, my friends, is a Ben Franklin fact.
At this point, I would like to remind our listeners that nothing we say is true.
some of it probably is, but accidentally. Accidentally and incidentally.
That's why we don't post a bibliography.
That's why in the show notes you'll never see, and Kanye West became the face of the $2 bill in 2005.
I'm going to Google that later on.
I'm
still not sure about that. So the Ben Franklin effect is probably not, like in this case, effect is probably not like a physics thing, right? It's probably not like the effect is, I don't know, probably not like, you know, like when you fill like a water glass and it has that like, you know, dome on top, the water, it's like surface tension. What's that effect called? I don't know. Or conversely, like when water is in a glass and it looks up the side. Anyway, it's not a physics effect. It has to be like a sociological effect. I don't know. It has to be like...
You should know by now that I don't confirm or deny any of your...
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to talk myself into believing something about Benjamin Franklin.
A rousing morning.
I liked it.
That's the chant that is sung after Real Salt Lake scores a goal.
Oh, nice.
Are they playing today? Or is that your ringtone?
That's my ringtone, yeah.
Do you need to take that? We can mute.
No. Okay. I've been getting random calls from New Jersey and what else? Who else has been calling me? Anyway, no, I don't need to take it because I don't basically answer the phone ever.
It's like a Jersey, Russian plot to get us to not use our phones, right?
New Jersey, Wisconsin, Nevada, all just...
I have one. That's like a local number.
I blame
it changes
it on,
digit, last digit every time.
I blame it on the fact that elections are coming up. I assume that it's like politically... But they don't leave messages, so I decide my justification is if you don't leave a message, you're not worth talking. So if you didn't leave a message, you obviously didn't want to actually talk to me. So you're dead to me, and I'm not going to answer the phone.
And not even a garbage recorded message either.
Not even a garbage recorded message. So that's why I think it's like political action groups trying to vote for some bullshit.
Yeah.
Although it's weird that they would be trying to get me to vote for some bullshit calling me from New Jersey or Nevada or Wisconsin, but, you know, whatever. That's not that weird. Yeah, right.
Are area codes really, like, useful this day and age? Or does everyone just have a 10-digit number?
It's vaguely useful. That's the Ben Franklin effect.
Huh. When things are vaguely useful.
Yes. When you can justify a kind of use for something, but you cannot assume that it is always the case, that's the Ben Franklin effect.
Like, where's your house key? On that kite. Why? I'll never lose it as long as I can see that kite. It sucks when I'm near trees, but otherwise, I know where my house key is at all times.
All times.
That's vaguely. Yeah,
that's the Ben Franklin effect. Wait, I thought there's a lot about Ben Franklin I'm supposed to know that I don't.
Things about Ben Franklin that you're supposed to know.
I think he's one of those people, though, that it's safe to say that maybe unless you've read like a full biography or something, that there's elements, there's layers, there's a lot going on.
Well, I mean, I didn't know half of the things about Alexander Hamilton until I saw the play.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool.
Maybe the Ben Franklin effect is humans trying to influence weather.
Maybe.
You can theorize that, but I don't think that's the Ben Franklin effect.
Okay.
And the reason I don't think that's the Ben Franklin effect is because I don't think he would have had the technology to in any way influence weather whatsoever. So I don't think that there could be an effect.
He threw a key into the sky and captured electricity.
He threw a key.
He was like a superhero.
That's not exactly influencing weather.
Where was that lightning going to strike had he not thrown that key into the sky? Somewhere else.
Distinct.
Weather influenced. That lightning bolt was an undecided voter, and he made a phone call from New Jersey via a key attached to a kite.
Yeah, I'm not an undecided voter. I'm very excited.
There we are.
You're not waffling? Yeah. Not on the fence?
No.
I'm shocked to hear that. This is my shocked voice.
I'm shocked. That is shocking.
Is that what Ben said?
Yes, that's the Ben Franklin effect.
Shocked. Dude, you were flying a kite in a lightning storm. What did you expect?
And he was shocked by the reaction of the...
Didn't he have like a metal wire attached or something as well to the key? The key was grounded. It wasn't just like there was a key on a string.
The urban legend that I know and love is that he got electrocuted by said key on kite. And if the key was on a string on a kite, then it would not conduct electricity so that he could have gotten electrocuted. So I would assume that there is some metal or conductive material that was the key was attached to. But I mean, I wasn't there.
Wow. Well, thank goodness he didn't die.
Otherwise, that's exactly $5 bill. What someone would say if they were there.
$5 bill? What is he on? He's on a bill, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is he on?
Benjamin. $100 bill, y'all.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know what those look like, apparently.
I've never seen that.
That's like when someone was telling me that the $100 bill in Canada smelled like maple syrup, and I was just like, I haven't had one in my possession to smell, and also I'm not in the habit of smelling my paper money because it's dirty.
You could roll it in a tube and smell the inside of it and run for mayor.
It's true. Or premier of the province.
There you go. I feel like your response should have been more like as opposed to a sigh.
Well, low-hanging fruit.
Wow. Yeah, there's some inside politics.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Ben Franklin effect. Are we still on this?
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever been on this?
I mean, that is the topic.
I'm sorry,
the
show, yes.
So yes. Yes.
Because I actually didn't check to see if we had listener questions. I think we still have some Allison ones stockpiled.
We have Allison ones, and we have one listener question.
That's exciting.
Is it from Vody McVoteface?
No, it's not from Vody McVoteface or Faking McFakerson.
Oh, that's who I was thinking of. Yeah. I don't know why. Sorry, Faking.
Midterm elections on your brain, and that's the Ben Franklin effect.
And we're what? We're like 60 days out, right?
Yeah.
Ish?
Something.
No, they're in November, right?
In November. We're
in September. In September. Happening.
Yeah.
September is happening, people.
Yeah. It's
with or without you. It's like but with you. Now. But yeah, with or without your attention, September is happening. We'll wake you up when it ends.
My birthday is often on election day because it's November 8th, so I have that also lucky, like the entire country celebrates with me. In fact, 2 years ago on my birthday, I was given a present and it was not the one I wanted. That was my birthday present.
Did you try and take it back?
There's no return.
I tried, but they said I couldn't take it back.
What is the return policy? Yeah. Maybe we'll find out.
We're working on the return. I mean, the return policy is still going through.
Yeah.
God. It's just, everything is so bizarre. I don't want to dig into politics in this show because, but everything is so effing bizarre right now.
I really was hoping for a female president on my birthday.
Yeah.
That would be a nice.
That would be a nice birthday present.
Well, I mean, you already
I'll see what I can do.
You get the sticker that says you voted. That's kind of
I was going to say, oh, I got one for the primaries last Tuesday, and I was going to try and turn my laptop around and show you. I clearly need more coffee.
Because you stuck it to your laptop?
Spinning it like, look quick.
Yeah, I don't get the sticker because we all vote by mail in Utah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had this discussion.
Like a state mandate type thing, yeah.
I can't vote by mail because my vote doesn't count.
Yep. Because your signature is wrong.
There is a they're collecting signatures to get I don't even know what it is. Florida is a closed primary state, so whatever party you register with, you can vote in, you know, party specific stuff, and then there are like a handful of like nonpartisan options, and yeah, so hopefully in November we can get rid of that, make it open primaries.
And what was the name of the, was it like the Sunglow Law, or what was
the made Sunshine Laws.
The Sunshine Laws. Yeah. Made everything sound so much better.
That's why, yeah. It's been done, but I feel like it would be fun to look on a fairly regular basis and see, what's like the weirdest Florida story happening? I need
it's
to make sure
done,
to
get but, out of that. But can it be too done when you have such good stories coming out of there?
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, we have like, I don't know, Canada has weird stories too, because there's always the like meanwhile in Canada, and it makes it seem like everything here is just like very just like non-problematic.
Very, very maple syrup focused.
Just like a bear, like a bear got its paw stuck in the jar, and you're like, all right, like,
okay,
we have real things happening here too.
Here's the thing with Florida stories, right? Like every Florida story that I read, I think, I wonder if that's, and there's always someone I know that like I would put in the story mentally. Like there's always someone that would fit that bill. Right. And sometimes often someone different, sometimes people I work with, sometimes people I went to school with, but I'm like, I wonder if that's .. And I have to look and see who it was that did something Florida worthy, you know, usually. I mean, there are the rare occasions. I think when there was a person on bath salts eating people's faces in Miami, like no one came to mind that I know in that case. But most of the rest of them, you know, take an alligator in a convenience store. Yeah. I know a couple of people that might do that.
I think because they always involve some sort of creature or something that the rest of the states isn't familiar with.
Or so. Running away from police naked.
Yeah.
Now, see, I would be that person in someone else's story. Like, is that Gary? I wonder what Gary's up to. Is he running from the police naked? No, not him. Not this time, anyway.
Gary, have you ever run away from police naked?
I've never went from the police naked.
So there's no.
I ran away from campus security clothed.
Why? What did you do?
I don't know that necessarily counts. Campus security doesn't count.
I mean, like, yeah, runs a cop. I was off-roading on campus in a Ford station wagon.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a lot more to the story than that, but that's the crux of it.
And so, wait, were you running away from them, or you were driving away from them?
I parked the car. I took to my to the feet.
Took to the road, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that I would be a lot more mobile on my feet than in a Ford station wagon. So I left campus and hid in an apartment complex for a while.
Yeah. Badass. Who knew?
That sounds very worthy of college.
The Ben Franklin effect. Actually, that was probably had something to do with what Ben Franklin said about beer. But, you know. There were only two blindfolded people in the back of the station wagon.
Oh, no. Only two blindfolded people. How many were in the trunk?
Well, I mean, they were in the station wagon's only have a trunk. Like, the entire back was.
Yeah,
so that's where they were.
That's where they were.
One of them was a lineman for the football team.
I don't think that you put a linebacker from the football team in blindfolds in the back of your station wagon. I don't believe
it. One of them was a lineman for the football team. Yeah. He was. My fraternity brother. Of course, this was like a frat thing, obviously.
I see.
It all adds up. It all makes sense.
I'm glad it makes sense to you.
Well, as much as...
I haven't figured it out years later.
As much as these conversations ever make sense.
Yeah.
Well, we reached the time where we've gotten the 10-minute warning, so I think that means that it's...
So, what is the Ben Franklin effect?
Time to define the topic.
The Ben Franklin effect is when it is a psychological, sociological thing, where if it has to do with cognitive dissonance, where it's basically like if someone doesn't like you, or you perceive them as not liking you and you ask them for a favor, they're more likely to start liking you, basically. So like someone who's performed a favor for someone else is more likely to do another favor if they've received a favor from that person. Basically, your concept of yourself is that you help people because you like them. And so if someone asks you for a favor and then you do it, you have to like change your perception of it. And you're like, oh, I must like them because I like did them this favor.
Why is that associated with Ben Franklin?
Because there's this great quote. Where did it go?
Because everybody hated him, and yet he asked them all for favors, and then they strangely like started liking him.
Yeah, in this biography, there's this guy that he really didn't like him at all, and so as a result, he asked if he could borrow a book from him, and he borrowed the book and then returned it, and then after he did that, the guy started liking him and like basically treating him with respect all of a sudden. It's basically like he that has once done you a kindness will be more ready to do you another than he whom you yourself have obliged. And it's just attributed. It's, and also like, I think psychologists also use it to like, the reverse is true as well, where it's like people who have done horrible things sort of create a cognitive dissonance and like dehumanize or whatever to justify their actions, right? So it's like we don't want to think that we're doing things for people if we hate them, because then our perception of ourself is like not synonymous with how we like to think of ourselves. So it's like, oh well, we must like that person. If I lent them that book, like I must like them on some level. I don't lend books to people I hate.
Right, and this strangely topical,
right?
To modern affairs, current affairs.
Ouch! I'm right here. Just call me out.
Not you, dude.
I know. I feel like that's always an appropriate response, though.
What? Not
yeah,
you?
Yeah. So it's like a foot.
No,
in the door,
like though. I'm right here.
If you want people to like you, and they maybe don't like you already, ask them for a favor and see how things pan out. Depends on the kind of
I like
favor.
That. No, I like that. It's probably a cool approach to, like, invert, you know, mediocre feelings with colleagues.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be. It's apparently supposed to be really good with tension among coworkers. Was one of the things that I kept finding, which is interesting. Where they were like strategies on like if you're not getting along with your coworkers for some reason and you can't
ask them for a favor, make them do something for you,
and then they're indebted forever.
Then their feelings of obligation will transform into feelings of somewhat vague appreciation.
And it's that somewhat vague appreciation that's the Ben Franklin.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I just really like wield lightning bolts. I mean,
like the X-Men.
All I need is a key and a kite.
Yeah.
Oh, just a key and a kite.
Influence the weather.
We do have a question, a listener question from Kevin.
Ooh, Kevin.
Who asks?
I don't know who Kevin is.
What would
Unless
be
I
better,
do.
What would be better if it had wheels on it? I feel like this is too general.
No, it's
because,
not.
Because basically, I think anything would be better with wheels.
No, a
laptop
campfire would not be
better with wheels,
wheels
on that, it. Just roll that laptop.
Okay, so no campfires, but what other right. thing?
I don't know. Right. Campfire with wheels would be pretty awesome.
You're like, let's
pretty horrifying.
Let's do that.
Sharks? Sharks would not be great with wheels.
Sharks would be awesome with wheels.
We have different definitions of awesome. Like cooking utensils. Like I don't need wheels on a knife. You know? That seems dangerous.
How else would you
rogue.
Pass it to somebody at the end of the table other than rolling it down the table?
Yeah, like
I think
like,
throwing it seems a lot more sensical.
Salt and pepper or like a bowl with wheels where you can just like instead of you know those gigantic salad bowls at family dinners that everyone's just like massive
yeah.
passing, if it was just on wheels, you could just kind of shove it down the table and knock everything else off.
There need to be like a path in the middle of the table where it's like designated as the area where you roll stuff down to the other end of the table.
Yeah. It's like a lazy Susan, but like
right.
a pathway.
A freeway. A lazy freeway.
It's like a lazy.
We basically just need a train-based food system on this.
I mean, the best part of
I was thinking maglev.
Place, I went to a sushi place one time in San Francisco and it had one of those like those things that where it has the sushis on the floating barge that floats by you.
Yeah.
Like that is the best invention ever. All food should come on a little floating boat that goes by. You're like, yes, I want that one.
I will take this.
I'll take that one.
I feel like that would be a great way to sell more desserts at any restaurant. Just keep dessert floating past tables all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Order what you want, and then I'm going to have two desserts. I might just eat dessert.
So much more money at restaurants in general if they did that with all their food. Because if I can see it, and I'm like, no, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
I will have more.
Mm. I want some key lime pie today.
On wheels. Little lime wheels.
Oh, that's adorable. Look at a little race car. And like the cut of the pie, like from the side, would look like it has a spoiler.
Exactly.
Oh, now I want new wallpaper on my computer.
That
Internet,
pie
make this
would
happen.
Sell like hotcakes or like pie.
Yeah,
or
I mean, that's why wheels and everything would be better. Everything.
Temporarily. I don't know.
Such a naysayer about this wheel thing.
I know. Such strong opinion.
I mean, just think of... Think about like all the friction we've now introduced. Like now you need like ways to alleviate friction on everything, right? So now you've got like graphite or like grease or oil in every bearing on everything, so it rolls easily. This is a mess.
Need is relative.
This is a mess.
It doesn't need to be like good wheels. It just need to be wheels. Possibly completely
like the old like
cosmetic wheels.
Like the rollerblades you got when you were a kid. Like the wheels barely spun. Like
yeah.
You moved it and it stopped immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
Or it could be like wooden wheels, and they don't even have to be like so fancy.
And it all comes back to Lego.
It's true.
Lego wheels, yeah.
Well, originally manufactured wooden toys.
That's true.
Wheels.
Cheese wheels would also be better with wheels.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm eating key lime pie and cheese today.
Ending on a food note, always.
And a side of Dyson Sphere. Woo! Almost didn't get it in this episode.
Oh.
Wow. Problem solved. Also, I'm no longer hungry, so two birds, one sphere.
Oh.
Also, I feel like this makes up for the opening, for the intros.
I don't think the opening needed an apology.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.